Welcome back to Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We're in the studio this afternoon with the beautiful ladies, Sandy, Tara, and Tanya, and myself, Shelley. We are deep into Tara's Bible study, Portable Sanctuary, and we are really hitting on faith, and we're discussing the life principle of we must walk by faith. In terms of the character, we're talking about Rahab in the Bible.
That's all right.
Kind of
counseling.
We all need rehab. Yeah.
This is a tough session.
We can look at Rahab for our rehab.
Oh, my.
So on that note, we want to just to pose the question, can God use someone such as a prostitute or a sinner?
Yeah, that's a good question. And this is just vitally important that we understand, because our faith will increase if we grasp this. Because I think what it comes down to ultimately for every single person, we think, I'm not good enough. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You go out and you ask people, are you going to heaven? You'll have people tell you, yes, because I'm a good person. Mm-hmm. But if you ask them if they're good enough, they'll waver. And I think that, that is the lifelong struggle that we have in societies. We think we're not good enough. And I think that is the area that the enemy will prey in our minds more than in anything, that we think, I'm not good enough. And but Scripture's really clear on this, that, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So if I'm not good enough, no one's good enough. Ultimately, that comes down to it. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Yet, by grace, we are saved because of what Jesus did for us. And it's our faith in him. If we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we are saved. So I'd like for us to open up. We're going to start with, I want us to read James 2:24, and I've asked Tanya to open up to that. And she's going to read this passage for us. What translation?
From the NLT.
Okay. New Living Translation.
Yep.
Okay.
It says, so you see, we are shown to be right with God by what we do, not by faith alone.
Oh, wait. Are you really? We got to do something? It's not just faith?
That's what it says.
Okay. Yeah, this is good stuff. This is important we get this.
It goes on to say, so faith is dead without good works.
No, yes. It's good. She's like, did I mess up? No, you didn't mess up. But I want us to understand that, because I think in Christendom, we think, let me rephrase this. I was raised that, you're saved, and then that's it. Mm-hmm. There's nothing else that reveals that person is a child of God. That just, I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, therefore I have salvation. I will continue in my life as is, and not really seeing the transformation that should be taking place. Because as we become and grow as a child of God, transformation will take place, mm-hmm. as we allow the Word of God in us. And that transformation is revealed by what we do. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. People will know our faith by who we are and how we act, how we react. And it is vitally important we understand faith. And then our faith shows itself by what we do. Mm-hmm. The tree is known by its fruit. Mm-hmm. And so that's important.
The saying that I have is fruit follows faith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Very good. Fruit follows faith. And the fruit would be the fruit of the Spirit, Spirit. Mm-hmm. Which we cannot have if we do not have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. So the expectation for love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. Cannot be an expectation I can have on somebody who's an unbeliever.
Right.
And that really causes me to rethink my interactions with somebody who doesn't know the Lord, because I can't expect them to act in a way that is godly if they don't have the mm-hmm. faith. And so let's pull that around, and I want us to think, Joshua here has been told by God, I want you to be strong and courageous. I have given this land, and everywhere you place your foot is going to be yours. But until his feet and the nation of Israel's feet stand in that land, it's not going to be theirs to possess. Mm-hmm. So in faith in our lives, we have an inheritance that God has given us in faith. But it's not going to be ours in possession until we, in faith, possess the land he's given us. So even for us, we have to, in faith, move forward in our actions to own the land of what's given. I just got back from Korea, and I'm pretty tired. Didn't sleep well last night. And part of my rounds of not sleeping, I started to have a mental attack. And I'm like, really? I just don't have the energy to fight this battle. I'm tired, God. I have jet lag. I don't want to have to deal with this. And in my mind, I remember it being, it was kind of like a sleep-wake state. And in my mind, I thought something like this in my prayers, like, no, not in the name of Jesus is this going to happen to me. Kind of like, you know, an attitude in faith. You know, I'm in Jesus. So just, I'm not going there. And immediately, it was the most amazing thing. I had this presence fall upon me last night in my sleep-awake state where I knew he was with me, and it was conquered. I mean, it was like a tangible, just I knew that God was with me, and that the mental attack that was coming my way was dealt with, and I went right to sleep.
Wow.
And I think what happens is that as it comes at us, we forget that our inheritance in Christ, the Prince of Peace, is inside us. That we have within us the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And in order to possess all that he has given us, we have to take that step of faith to go into land. Now, Joshua, if you remember the first time they went in to explore the land, it was the entire land, and 12 spies were sent. And when the 12 spies were sent, 10 of them came back, and all they could see were giants in the land. Mm-hmm. Whereas Caleb and Joshua saw that it was much fruit. This time, did you notice he didn't send spies into all the land? He went to one place. Mm-hmm. He went to Jericho. And that needs to be our approach in dealing with whatever it is that we need to possess. I think oftentimes we look at the great big huge picture of all of the land that needs to be dealt with, when really we need to deal with this one small sector first. Mm. And that's what Joshua was doing. He was first going to take Jericho, and that would be the first place devoted to God. And so when we are dealing with something that we're asking ourselves, okay, by faith, what must I deal with? We need to ask, how can I take this piece? What piece am I called to take in this? And then when we do that, we call upon the Lord, and he'll help us deal with that piece, which then increases our faith to get the next piece. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Because I'm talking kind of symbolically, but, you know, there's many things that, you know, that needs to be conquered in our lives, and I don't know what that might be that needs to be conquered in someone's life, but, you know, in mine, it's in my thoughts, you know, that I can allow my thoughts to go places they don't need to go. And so I'm constantly having to redirect my thoughts. But, you know, it could be other things. I know my family history and background, generationally, alcoholism is huge. Mm-hmm. And so in helping family members and saying to that one beer, no, you know, because it doesn't just keeps leading into one thing after another. They have to conquer one so that they don't deal with the whole. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So as we're looking at this walking by faith and keeping that in mind, we see that here it says a person's justified by what they do. Okay? To say I have faith in the Lord, but if I'm not walking in that faith, we have to question, do I really have faith?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's where he's talking about testing our faith, you know?
And I think that's hard just on a daily basis, though, because... And it goes back to, you know, we all fall short, but we fall short frequently throughout the day. And even if it is as simple as, you know, a thought like, oh, look what she's wearing. I mean, like, that's not godly.
Right.
You know, and so then I think we can come back and condemn ourselves.
Right, right. And you know what? Let me think. I think I wrote it down. I wrote a quote. It says, the Life Application, I think, notes said, God does not demand that in our judgment we be perfect in all situations. He simply asks us to put our trust in him and to do the best that we know how to do.
Mm-hmm.
And the best example I can give, and I gave it last month, and Sandy and I were talking about this, and I think I gave it actually the month before, and maybe I just need to say it third time's a charm. I was having a conversation, I was talking with my pastor about, we were talking prayer ministry and, you know, and just the overall leading out in prayer. And, you know, a lot of information comes in when you lead in prayer. And he just looked at me and he said, you know, Tara, and he goes, you need to ask yourself, you know, can you do this without a spirit of judgment? And I just looked at him and said, I can't. I'm human. And it's like, I'm going to judge. And I go, but I think the bigger question is what am I doing with that judgment when I judge? Mm-hmm. And I go, I confess it. I tell God, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me for the spirit of judgment inside me, because you tell us in the Bible that we are judged the way we are judged, and I don't want to be judged mm-hmm. the way I'm judging right mm-hmm. now. So I say that as an example, and that we're going to be where we are tempted. But God promises in 2 Corinthians 10:13 that he will always provide a way of escape, mm-hmm. always. And so it's not so much that we may have the thought, and it's not so much that temptations are presented before us, but it's what we do with right. it when it comes, and that's the faith in action. And so Rahab, her test was, is here she has these spies that show up, you know, whether she's a prostitute or not. We know for a fact, by the way that is written in the original language, that this scripture does not talk in any way, shape, or form about anything sexual happening. It's just they have come to her home mm-hmm. as a place to stay. And in the process, she recognizes they're of the nation of Israel. She knows that they are not of her town. And by choice, she chooses to honor God mm-hmm. at the risk of putting herself before her own town, her own leadership, in danger of death. And in her day, that death would have included her family. Hmm. It would have been all that belonged to her, because who knows how far that spread, okay? And so she, by faith, said, I believe in God so much that I am willing to protect that which is I see that belongs to God. And that is huge. Hmm. And that is incredible faith, that she was willing to act on it, even knowing that she is putting herself at risk. And so here the spies have come into the land, and the king of Jericho realizes, and he has heard. So he sends word to Rahab, we've heard, they've been in your house. And Sandy, you were sharing, you had read about why they may have shown up at her house. Would you like to share that, you know, that why they would have gone to a prostitute's house?
Well, probably is what I read from a commentary, that if she was a prostitute, they would not be, I guess they would not.
Then question.
Thank you. Question why they were going into her house, because it was a prostitutional house.
Right.
And so they just let them in.
Mm. Right.
And didn't even think about them being different.
Right. Wouldn't have thought anything of that being a visitation. Yeah. Yeah. It's true. And so the king has seen that they've come, and he sent word saying, okay, we know that they have been there, and she has at this point a choice to make. And she can either choose to follow God, or she can tell truth and hand the spies over. And at this point, she makes a very difficult decision, and she actually lies.
Mm-hmm.
She lies and protects mm-hmm. The spies. And, oh, big debate. Are we allowed to lie?
Right.
Are we justified to lie?
Right.
And
for the greater good?
Yeah. You know what? In the Holocaust, many, many Christian homes hid mm-hmm. Jewish people and would hide them so that they could not get them. And then eventually other people started hiding the Christians that were hiding. I mean, that is something that happened, because it was the protection of life.
Mm.
Right. And because Rahab could see God's sovereign hand, mm-hmm. she knew it was better to be on the side of God
mm-hmm.
than on the side of her town. She knew destruction was coming, whereas she could see that life came through this Lord God Almighty.
Mm-hmm.
And so she chose to follow him and protect those which were his, instead of that which was where she was from. And in a way, if you think about it, this truly is her dividing line and cutting off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, replacing her loyalty with
right.
who are the enemies mm-hmm. now
right.
to now being with the people of God.
Yeah. And so while I was in Korea, one of the things that we did is we went and toured the demilitarized zone between North and South Korea. Mm-hmm. And they have a house that is built across the line, the dividing line between the two, between the military posts of North Korea and South Korea. And you never know when they have tours whether or not you will be allowed to step into this house, because if North Korea is in this house, South Korea is not allowed in it. If mm-hmm. South Korea is in it, North Korea is not allowed in it. It's kind of the mm-hmm. way that it's a standing rule. And when we showed up, we got to go in. And so we were able to stand in North Korea and photograph the dividing line between North and South Korea. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to start crying, because there's a lot that goes on behind that dividing mm-hmm. line. For them, it's the choice between communism mm-hmm. and democracy. Mm-hmm. And a line was drawn in the land, and it divided father as and mothers and brothers and sisters. And so great division occurred when they chose to stand on either side. It's the same thing with Rahab. She had a dividing line that occurred in her life, and she chose that day to stand on the mm-hmm. side of God, instead of the side of her town, her people. And that's what happens in our lives. Mm-hmm. When it comes to faith, we have to make that choice and divide and say, okay, the line is drawn. Mm-hmm. I am choosing to stand on the side of God. Mm-hmm. Christ came on this earth and died for my sins, and I am choosing to stand. And even though it may be hard for me, and it may be the loss of my life, I will choose to stand. And we don't get pressed with that so much here in America, having been in Korea and seeing how that affects those there. And I saw the North Korean military man and I saw the South Korean military man both protecting their side. And literally the South Korean men, as they were guarding their post while we were standing, veins were popping out of their arms. Their arms were so tense in case something should occur that they're required to stand to protect. Made me ask the question, Lord, am I willing to stand mm-hmm. that firm?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Am I willing? Because Rahab was willing. And so I was reading through this as I was on the, just, I love how God provides us those visuals. Mm-hmm. And we have to be willing to make that stance. And Rahab did that day. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know, for those of you that are listening, I don't know where you're at, and I don't know what is in your life circumstances. I can tell you with the promise that God gave to Joshua in Joshua 1, that if you follow God's word and his commands, he promises that blessings will come. Mm-hmm. And so it's worthy of taking a stance for God. Mm-hmm. God bless you. Come back next week to hear more about Rahab. Take care.